I had to have something removed from my arm. I had a lipoma, and it was causing pain in my arm, and so they had to go and cut into my arm and pull this thing out and sew it back up. And there was a wound there, and it's healed, but there's still a scar. I will always see, or when I was a kid, I fell off a fence and I scraped my chest right here. I can still see a little scar there from something that happened to me when I was, 8 or 9 years old. You know, and so I'm not in pain, but there's always a reminder. So certain sins that we commit, yes, of course God forgives us. Of course, especially when we're baptized, we do all that stuff. But we do have, I still sometimes think of sins I committed before my baptism in the Orthodox Church, and I'm still sad that they happened. I know that God's forgiven me; they've been washed away. But one of the struggles we have with converts is priests. Especially dealing with young people in University of Town, young people are very idealistic. And I get a lot of people, they come to the church and they fall in love with Orthodoxy. They want to come to every single service. If they're men, they want to grow their beards to the ground and they want to put their whole icons, everything, and they suddenly become the expert. And I say, stay off the internet, don't debate, And they, while they're catechumens, they come to everything. They go to every talk, they can go to every retreat, they come to everything. And they almost have this hope that, boy, once I get baptized, all my passions are going to go away. And I tell them, no, it's not. It's just going, you're still going to struggle with these things. And they get baptized, and they get chrismated, and they come into the church, and they have their first week, and all that stuff. And then suddenly they go back into the world, and they find, oh my God, I'm still having the same struggles. And they really think it's going, and that's when a lot of people, I tend to find the kind of, a lot of people, they fall away within the first year being Orthodox, because they really thought that, boy, once I get baptized, once I get chrismated, everything's going to be wonderful, and I'm going to be able to, glow in the dark and float and pray unceasingly and, all these things. And it's like, this is not magic. This is not magic at all. And so there's a struggle. And the thing is that, if you indulge to certain vices, even before your baptism, yes, God's forgiven you, but you're probably going to struggle with that passion. And if you were a soldier and you participated in combat, you killed someone before your baptism, I'm sure you're still going to have post-traumatic stress even afterwards. It's not going to, but it gives you a context for struggle.
So if you struggle, but it's mean that God will forgive you, but will not bless you anymore.
Like, no.
You're falling off.
No, I wouldn't say that God would not bless you. I mean, women have had abortions, they have repented of it, and they have probably saved their souls. But I think there is a sort of a sorrow because you've done something unnatural. I mean, I know with this issue, women who have had abortions, they confess it and reconfess it and reconfess it, and sometimes I have to say, you've already confessed this, you don't need to reconfess it. But they feel that need because it still bothers them. And yes, there's the mercy of God. Yes, there's the thing, but there'll always be that memory. I mean, this is the reason why, this is one of the main reasons we're against abortion, is because, like they say in the one of the kind of catchphrases of the pro-life movement, abortion hurts women. It does hurt them. It hurts them physically, it hurts them psychologically, because this thing has happened to them. And yes, God can forgive them. Yes, they can become saints. If St. Mary of Egypt can be a saint, if St. Paul, the persecuted church, can be a saint, if St. Moses the Ethiopian, who was a highway bandit, if the prophet David, who sent a man into battle so he could hook up with his wife, if these men and women can be saints, anyone can end up as a saint, no matter what station they are. But we still live in this fallen world, and we still have the effects, the scars of these sins.
One more question, okay. Because I'm translating from what I heard on YouTube from Russian, or maybe it was not YouTube. They're saying if women have to repent all her life, cry about this all her life, and when she's dead, she's going to hell, so her children can be killed, children can be taken out of hell.
That's nonsense.
What I hear.
The Greek word, yeronda, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. Because the thing is that if you're basically told, you'll never really be forgiven and you'll still go to hell, but your born children will go. That's nonsense.
And plus, children who was killed, why they have to go and suffer?
Well, we don't believe that unborn babies or babies who die at childbirth Peribius who, you know, if they die before they get to their baptism when they're young or something like that, that they're going to be, I mean, we don't believe that they go to hell or limbo or something like that. That's not the church's teaching. I mean, there are individuals who hold that opinion. St. Augustine held that opinion. But St. Augustine, you have to understand that you know, yeah, there's a lot of great things in St. Augustine, but he had some mistakes. Now, they were out of ignorance, and he's a father of the church, and I'm not one of these people that say, I don't call him a heretic. But we don't, you know, no single church father is infallible. We always look for the consensus of the fathers, because we're human beings. I mean, you know, I always tell people, I say, you know, look, I'm reflecting on these writings. If I've made a mistake and you say, well, you know, I've looked at these fathers and Father, you're wrong about this. Well, fine, I'm wrong. It doesn't mean I'm a heretic. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, we all make mistakes. We all sometimes just misspeak or we have a limited understanding. But that's why we look for the consensus of the fathers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this idea that you know, unbaptized babies are condemned to hell, that means aborted babies or babies who die, you know, or that's just nonsense.
Thank you.
That's not what the church teaches.
But I just wanted to add quickly that the emotional dilemma that women face,
right,
how hard it is, and looking for a way to console themselves and to repent. Recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, Stevie Nicks revealed to the world what the song Sarah, mm-hmm. a big hit, was all about. And so I listened to it again, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, it had this fuller meaning.
Right.
And I could feel the pain of Stevie Nicks through these lyrics. But before knowing that knowledge, it was just a good song.
Right.
But now, it's just a different song.
Yeah,
she said, I just didn't reveal it, but I had to write this.
Right.
Of a child I would name Sarah.
Right.
Okay. It's
right.
An incredible
song. I have never heard that song, but
yeah.
Yes?
In my opinion, that is why we should pray for women that have had abortions.
Of course.
That's like really important to do that, because
right.
You want them to be enlightened.
Right.
You want them to realize, because if you've had an abortion,
right.
and you are not a Christian,
right.
and you don't have that knowledge of how valuable life is,
right.
if we are praying for these people, then that helps them to be enlightened, you know.
And of course.
To realize that what they've done is wrong.
Right. Well, you have to understand.
And not wrong in a way that I'll never be forgiven, but I need to repent and I need to feel.
Right. Right.
Feel what I did.
Right. The whole thing is they don't talk about, you know, I went to a Catholic high school when I was younger, and I would talk about Catholic guilt complex. You could talk about Orthodox guilt complex, that, well, the church just wants you to feel guilty about everything. I was talking with someone today about this. We were talking about sexual morality and all that stuff, and I said, look, you know, if you do these things to yourself, you know, it's not, the church is not making you feel guilty. The point is your conscience will always convict you, you know, and in a sense, you know, look, morality is not, you know, you must, they're not, you know, rules, they're not like rules where, okay, God wants you to do this and not do that. If you behave yourself, you get a reward. If you're bad, God will punish you, will strike you with lightning, or, you know, afflict you with a plague or something like that. It's not that. It's that, you know, the virtues are divine energies, and that when we're virtuous, we participate in the life of God. You know, he says, be holy because I'm holy. And so our desire to be virtuous is because that's one way in which we commune with God. Of course, the strongest way is through Holy Communion. But when we're virtuous, we're communing with God, because we're participating, we're entering into that divine energy. You know, we're partaking of that aspect of God when we're virtuous. Well, when we are sinful, when we're viceful, we're removing ourselves, because sin is a perversion. You know, God did not create evil. He didn't create sin. He didn't create sinful passions. These are all perversions of good things. You know, if you know the Lord of the Rings story, you know, Tolkien, There's the wizard Saruman, who was the leader. He was the one that Christopher Lee played in the movies. And he went, what, you know the story, he was once a very good wizard. He was the leader, and he was called Saruman the White. And he basically decided that in order to defeat the Sauron, he has to study him. He has to, so he gets into contact with him and starts studying him with the intention that this is how we're going to defeat Sauron. And it corrupts him. You know, and so, you know, like when we, you know, if we're gonna, if, you know, if we're going to actually understand the, from a spiritual perspective, if we want to understand what sin is, we don't study the sin. we don't engage in the sin to say, well, if I'm going to really understand it, you know, it would be ridiculous. We understand it by knowing what the virtue is. You know, and by striving to acquire those virtues, you know, then we can, then that's why, you know, for, you know, this is why in the priesthood, you know, we're expected to live a holy life. Not that we're always perfect. I mean, priests, we have father confessors and we're repenting of our sins and we're dealing with our issues. But, you know, we're constantly reminded that, you know, part of the reason we're not just being moral for ourselves, we're not just doing, we're doing this for our people. Because, I can't teach these things to people if I'm not, you know, if I'm not working out my own salvation. You know, if, you know, it's not just, well, okay, you're ordained now, so you have some magical power. It's not, that's not the way it is. And so if we want to understand, if we want to help people with their sins, you know, we have to understand people's stories, but we have to be virtuous and we have to know these virtues because that is what helps us pastorally deal with sin. We have to know it's not about just not doing something. There's a goal. We're trying to acquire a virtue. We're trying to have that virtue. And so that's the whole idea. And so when it comes to abortion, yeah, the church is a place of forgiveness because regardless of what you believe about humanity, about God, about the sanctity of life, if you have an abortion, you know, you're going to be wounded by it. That's just a fact. You know, and you're going to have these things, and you know there are ways you can deal with it. There are unhealthy ways, and there are healthy ways, and there are ways that bring you closer to Christ, because God is the great physician. You know, and so the church is not here to say we're not here to say you should feel guilty. We're here, yeah, you feel guilty. That's normal. I mean, a psychopath doesn't feel guilty for what they do. That's why they're a psychopath. You know, it's like, okay, now come to the church because the church is about forgiveness. The church is here where you can now struggle. You can work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as St. Paul says, and still, and still save your soul. I mean, what's the point if it's like, well, you've had an abortion, you're damned, but you know, come to church, throw your money in the plate, and you know, your unborn child will go to heaven. I mean, that's awful. That's an awful teaching.